Yes, sir.
Show us back in session at 6:45. No action on the presentation. We've given them some guidance, and if board members have questions or suggestions, contact Doug on recent Nichols study. Item number 11, discussion regarding the following potential violations of district rules and take necessary actions. Doug, take them one by one.
Yes, sir. So what I'll go is I'll go through each of the for the exempt wells, each of the drilling companies, and the non-exempt wells, the owner. You know, a lot of this is the kind of the same story. So I'm not going to go into great detail on everyone. I'm happy to answer any questions as they come up. Basically, you know, this first group, you know, just what happened is satellite imagery updated on the mapping system that we use, and looking at some existing well applications, a lot of the approved locations popped up, primarily started in Eagles Bluff. For those of y'all that wondered where we saw this, a lot of the approved locations were sitting in the middle of houses. Staff went out there, spent a day driving around, you know, identifying where the approved location was and where the wells were actually drilled. They made it to, I think, two other subdivisions, got to a point, and then, you know, I visited with you, Tracy, and Tracy just said, put these on the agenda. Let's see what how it goes. So I'm going to go through these, and I kind of grouped them in a way. The first several are wells. I'm going to remind you that wells that are drilled more than 30 foot away from the approved location is a violation of district rules. So the first group are wells that are just drilled 30 feet away from the approved location. They still meet all spacing requirements. Then there's a group of some that do not meet spacing requirements. And then we'll go to the non-exempt wells after that. So again, I'm going to go through these fairly quick. Please stop me if you have any questions. The first are...
And real quickly, I know some of the drillers are here, but let him get through this and kind of get a basis for where we hopefully, second, third, fourth, fifth, it'll be quicker as we go, okay?
Yeah, I know nobody wants to be here all night, but what I'll do is I'll go through anything that's, you know, for you particular, and then we'll open it up if there's any comments or questions.
Okay.
First are multiple wells drilled by Mr. James Dake. The first one is well 13205, submitted in January of 2020, approved the next day. It was drilled approximately, I got these chat boxes open, about 48 feet from the approved location. You can see in the map, this is going to be, I think all of these were in Eagles Bluff, I believe. The overwhelming majority of these are in Eagles Bluff. There's several in, I believe, Deer Glade, so the second portion south of Deer Ridge. And then was there one other subdivision? There's a few. Skyview. But the overwhelming majority are in Eagles Bluff. That's really all we've looked at to this point.
Do you satellite imagery to pinpoint the location
now? Yes. Yeah. These are updated satellite imagery, not as it was. Yes, correct. So approved location here, drilled 50 feet away. And a lot of these, they still meet spacing. But again, why this is an issue is, you know, so everybody knows, when applications come in and we look at the coordinates, you know, we get 2,500 applications this year. We can't go to 2,500 different sites. It's just physically impossible. So when we get the coordinates and we put them in the map and it clearly meets spacing, we're like, we don't need to go out and mark this one. We move on down the road. We don't just look at property line. We look at well to well. But if these wells are 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 feet away from where they're supposed to be, that is a domino effect, right? Because we're approving wells adjacent to that based on the approved location. So it impacts what we do internally. Second well ID 13264, again, January 2020, drilled 48 feet from the approved location. Well 13455, drilled 54 feet from the approved location. Well 14578, drilled 49 feet from the approved location.
Wait, go back to that one.
Yep.
Drilled location right in the middle of the house?
No, drilled location's right here, right in front of the house. Yeah.
There are some that...
Yeah.
The approved location was in
the approved location. There's some of them the approved location was in the house. Yeah.
Well, that's a blackout.
And some of them, it's because the GPS was off. Some of them were literally marked in the field by staff, and they were just drilled somewhere else, right?
Everyone in line, they're not. They're
clarified.
Yeah.
I do have a question, and maybe this will help a little bit. But if there, we do have 30, because I think I've asked this before, we do have 30 foot,
mm-hmm.
and my approved location is say 29 feet away. But yeah. the guy next door, he was approved to drill 150 foot away, but now I've moved 29 feet. Is it his responsibility to move away from me?
Well, which well is drilled first?
Is that what we go by?
That happened okay. to me and Randall, though.
Yeah.
And I actually had to reseal my well, and he had to get approved from them.
Let him get through the first one.
Okay, that was
okay. Let him get through yeah. the first one.
We have a long night ahead of us still.
Yeah. yeah. 14-2-722 drilled 164 feet away from the approved location. Yep, that was the coordinate submitted on the application.
No reason for that. Always go there. Who's going to go way back there with septic is and put it back there? I know. I literally got the GPS in the trap beside the house. You know.
These are the coordinates on the application. You know, I'm not going to go in and get into arguments, folks, but when staff goes out and gets coordinates and we put them on the map, they show up in the right place. So I don't know what else to say about that. We're not using super high dollar equipment either. You know, we're just using Garmin handhelds.
But we need to start doing like cities, mark where every well's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That way there's none of this. You know, this is where it's supposed to be. Because I didn't go way back there and get the well location on that. It was right beside the house where that builder always wants.
And that very well may be the case, but the coordinates on the application showed up there. We don't have anything else other than the coordinates you submit on the application.
Numbers could be transposed.
Yeah.
That's
could be typos and stuff.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Doug.
Well, 15758 drilled 34 feet from the approved location. Well, 15855 drilled 75 feet from the approved location.
Sorry, Doug, you can go back one. The 34 feet.
Yes, sir.
That's not a 30 feet or 35?
It's 30.
30. 30. 30. 30 feet.
And we did that because you get out there and you got this location and you figure the rig doesn't fit there.
Yeah. Well, and try to give you 30 foot of being off is within reason. Anything over 30 feet, I mean, you should get within 30 feet within even a phone should get within 30 feet.
You can be 30 foot off and our radius that – any of the GPS and Garmin drive overhead don't get there. They're always around that 15 to 17 range. So there you're looking at, that can be that 30 and then that 70.
Again, I'm not trying to get in an argument with everybody here. Staff can go out and get coordinates and we can put them on the map and they're within 3 or 4 or 5 feet.
Do they all have the same GPS?
We have Garmin. Everybody here has Garmin.
Everybody here has the same make and model.
No. That is that no.
We literally
I think we have three different models.
The one y'all had Garmin. Years ago, we literally got that same, actually two of them, and they was always the same, 15 to 17 foot off, you know, accuracy.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how.
I don't know how they do it either. I mean, Jacob's a genius, I guess.
We'll get through this in a second. Then I've got a thought, and we'll see if it works.
15948. Drilled 98 feet from the approved location. 16104, 117 feet from the approved location. And see, like this one goes back. This looks like a reasonable place where it would have been drilled. This is the drilled location.
Yeah.
Yep. 16723 drilled 39 feet. 16806. Of course, when we got this, the house wasn't there in the image, obviously. Again, coordinates submitted on the application. 59 feet from the approved location, 16806. 16812, 36 feet. 16920, 60 feet, 61 feet. 1726, 216, 43 feet from the approved location. 17414, 55 feet from the approved location. 18028, 65 feet from the approved location. 18067, 110 feet from the approved location. And those are the,
how many were there?
So for Mr. Dake, that's 17 that were found.
Okay. And if they went out and found that they weren't going to drill the well at the location that was on the application.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of arduous process is there that they have to go through to get that change?
They call. So staff, if they call and they're on site, staff has been directed to look at that immediately and get back to them as quick as possible. And usually it's the day. If they call and it's, you know, a lot of the drillers, you know, they work, you know, they work pretty well with staff, and with Leisha especially calls a lot of them now. You know, it's they let her know, hey, we're going to be out there in a few days on this one, so it's not a big hurry. But if they're out there on site, we basically drop what you're doing, look at that real quick, and try to get back to them ASAP.
Do they have to email or fax something in saying what the new coordinates are?
They'll usually email or text. I mean,
yeah, usually email, that way they got it.
Yeah,
they
in writing.
File, yeah. They can say, yeah.
But even text is fine. Leisha will screenshot some text and save those with the file. So Mr. Dake motioned to offer a settlement. Includes a first major violation for failure to drill a well at the location within 30 feet of the approved location for following wells 13205, 13264, 13455, 14578, 14722, 15758, 15855, 15948, 16104, and 16273. That's 10 at $100 penalty fee for each of the 10. That's up to all of those I've lumped into a first major violation. The maximum penalty for a first major violation is $1,000. A second major violation includes the remainder, 7 wells at $150 penalty for each one, and that comes to $1,050. Total penalty is my recommendation. And I'm happy to answer any questions from the board about this recommendation.
Any questions down on from Wise County?
What's the time frame on all these when they were drilled?
Starting in 2020 to just earlier this year.
First one was January 6th, 2020. The last one was approved on July 1st of this year.
Approved in July of this year.
Say 99% of them are not showing where they recorded this, where they, you know, I got the coordinates from. You know, don't ask me how I'm not going to do it in the middle of the trees. Because every lot we go to, the forms are already up. I'm not going to get it in the middle of the house. We're going to literally get it right there where it goes. And we've had situations where literally I've had to go back out and get coordinates numerous times because the staff, they say it's showing in the middle of the road. The coordinates I gave are showing in the middle of the road. Then I go out there to call and do it again, and they say it's 10 foot in on the property line. And they got, and they say it has to be 50 foot to get approved. So what do? I move farther back in on the property to get caught and then give them again. Okay, we can work with that because they're showing 50 now, so we can approve them. So actually, you know, if they go out there and get their coordinates, it's going to show me farther in. And I've done that numerous times.
Recommendation or?
Well, one thing, this came up in, I think, August. We had a driller here that had a situation. He actually had a developer move the stake on him. I mean, he got hung out to dry. And in visiting with one of the drillers in Montague County, he had this happen in another district. And I made a comment that, you know, CYA for you guys, before you set the bid on the ground, check that GPS to make sure it matches what's on the application. And if it doesn't, call the staff real quick. You know, that lets us know what the situation is, et cetera.
About 99% of the time, you can check for it. You can literally, it's supposed to be here, and you go by the coordinates that are on your application.
Yeah.
And you're not going to.
Well, here's something else, because staff has talked about this. GPS coordinates have been an issue from day one for us. And the suggestion I have, and Doug's actually talked to the staff about setting this up, have a breakfast. Bring your GPS, whatever you're using for GPS here, and the staff and you will sit down and see how, one, find out if your device is not accurate enough, if it's, and how it's working, and make sure you know how to use it. We've got some drillers that are technologically challenged. I'm not saying any of you are, but there are some in the district. I come from Montague County, and we're a little backwards up there. So,
But, do it both ways? I mean, you know, try to be lenient on this and, you know, let's do that, let's do that on top of it. And then let's start being like cities. So let's measure off where the well's supposed to be, mark it on it.
One of the problems, you know, in an ideal world, you'd send a GPS in, field staff would go verify it for you and mark it. And if you'll notice on some of our violations and stuff, staff literally takes a picture of their GPS showing the stake and the purple on the ground.
I was about to confirm stuff.
No, we don't get it unless we talk.
Okay.
It's pretty dog. Like all of mine, they feel verified. And so when I get approval and there's on there that has been saved, you know, I'm like, sweet, yeah. A percentage has been there. So the flag tanks on the ground. But then when they head to change, and I'm like, okay, good. My flag or where the water line is, I'm good. You know, and then I go out there and get her done, and then I get this.
Well,
can I ask a question right quick?
Sure.
I can throw something out there. So I've submitted literally hundreds of water wells to TCEQ, and the way I've always done it is I use a free software, Google Earth, and I stake it visually. And there's never any problems with reconciling because it gives you the GPS. If there was a discrepancy, we could catch it. It would come in and say, hey, these don't match.
Well, and I think, you know, I think it's been a while, but Jacob shared our mapping soft tools with a lot of drillers, and they could put in the coordinates there and see where it puts it on the lot.
We could do it. Either way, I think.
But you know, we're gonna make that available again. But you know, it's you know.
There are going to be issues with technology. Huh? I mean,
that was God. It was years ago when he shared that, and I don't know that anybody ever used it. No, Jay. It's some mapping that Jacob built. That's on a separate. He sent out a link to it years ago.
We got to do something to work together, or you know, literally go mark every location. That way, we're not scared to go out like any now that I have GPSs that I haven't changed. I'm gonna probably get Lynn to turn them all in,
yeah,
to get re-verified because I don't want to do this again. You know, I'm scared now. I mean, literally, when I know I'm going out there drilling where it's supposed to be, and then you know, this.
We've got one later in the agenda that the well location is 20 feet from the pavement. I'm sorry, but you know it's got to be 50. So.
Right.
That driller should have backed up and said, well, calf rope, I got a problem.
Any location I go to, even when Upper Trinity is marked it, I literally remeasure it. And there's been numerous ones. I literally had to move it a couple foot because it wasn't 50 foot.
Yeah.
When Upper Trinity marked it, and I would have gotten in trouble. I'd have got that violation.
Yeah.
But really, we don't get the mapping sent to us on an email. We get an approval letter, and that's it. We don't get any oversight.
How much?
We're going to start sending those.
Well, let's.
Yeah, can we, before y'all assess fines or decide, can we all be able to allow to speak so we all have similar things?
Yeah.
It's all
and we all have ideas, you know, for us to work together. Not, you know, against each other.
Yeah.
Sure. But like you say, if it's legal, 50, 150 from wells, you know, if it's not, I can see the not. I mean, that right there is, you know, it should be.
Well, and frankly, since about July, just about each month, we've seen violations in here that bust the TDLR rule.
Right.
Well, you know what that means. You can have your choice. We tell you to plug it, move it and plug it, or the state, who's going to probably be a lot rougher, is going to do the same thing. And the whole point of that is, at that point, the well that's too close is taking the neighbor's water in reality. And nobody wants to be in the middle of that situation.
Well, it's like pipeline stuff now, you know.
Yeah. Okay, you're talking about sharing the pictures with the GPS.
We'll do whatever, we're going to start sending additional stuff. I mean, obviously, look, you know, we're not out to get anybody, right?
We want compliance instead of enforcement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just give us knowledge and stuff. Knowledge before you do this.
That's just not right. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, it's not right. I mean, it's not right from our perspective. that the coordinates, and I'm sorry, the coordinates submitted on the application met spacing. I can't say this enough. I'm sorry that some folks can't figure out how to use their GPS units correctly. Our staff does not have a problem with this. Our staff, Dawson, how long after you started did it take you before you were going out by yourself getting coordinates? A week.
Here's
my suggestion of let's have a breakfast brunch.
And so what I'm getting, and I keep hearing this, our coordinates are always off. Our coordinates are always off. Our guys can go out and get coordinates, and we can come in and put it on the map, and it's usually within 5 feet of where it's supposed to be. So I understand, but then I don't understand because I don't know what we're doing magically that's different.
Doug, if I may.
And I'm not trying to be argumentative. It's just.
So when you turn in your application, you're putting coordinates on them. How are you getting those coordinates to begin with?
Well, I've had Garmin.
What's your process? Do you go out to the field?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Have a Garmin in front of you and say, this is where I want to drill the well?
Well, they have certain locations, like literally, as long as the spaces are met, this side, that's where we get them.
So I know one of the things our staff does is when they take their coordinates, they take a picture every time, whether it's they're taking a picture at a drilled well. They're taking a picture at a stake.
Yeah.
If I know, as someone who's on this side, we'd much rather have compliance than having to go through what we're going to go through tonight. I know I would take a different look at it if on each one of these you came in and said, here's the picture I took of this in the field, and here's my Garmin, and I put the stake here, and then I drilled the well and had the exact same numbers. And yeah, it's off by 30 feet or 40 feet. I'm going to have a very different take on that if you have picture ID every time you stake it, and that matches exactly what's on your application versus I have an application with no idea. I don't know if you went to the field or not. I'm assuming you did. I'm assuming you took coordinates. I don't know that. But our staff does that so that if anyone has a question about how we got it, there's a picture of it right there. If you have a picture of when you set the stake, and you send in your application, and you take a picture again when you start drilling the well, and, you know, the thing's within 5 feet, you know you're good. But if they're off 50, 60, 70 feet from each other, you know you need to call. And if we're getting to this point now where applications come in with one set of numbers and the well is drilled 70 feet away, 165 feet away, I don't think any Garmins are off quite that much.
But here's the problem. The coordinates I give, I literally went to it, and I drill it right here, and them are the coordinates that are approved, but they wouldn't feel verified. And that's, so I'm literally doing it right here where I got my GPSs, because when it was approved, no GPSs were changed. And this is where I literally marked it by the water line.
But if you had a picture of both the day you set it to do your application and the day to drill your well, you have proof of what was going on and what your Garmin said.
We're more likely to
picture when you literally went to this location and there's the water line.
I know, but you're here tonight.
Yeah, well, I know.
When? If you had a picture on every one of these of when you did the application and when you drilled the well, you may not be here tonight.
In return, if we get an email saying that the GPS coordinates that have been approved on our application have been moved from the water district, and we get an overhead picture, it kind of shows us where the new approved coordinates have been made from.
Sure. We're going to start sending that.
Because we're starting to get out there, and it's like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
A scraped off piece of.
Well,
having for all of us that obviously can't run GPS.
We're going to start sending all the maps out with every application.
Something that we've all talked about that would help us if a location has been moved, if it needs to move, we would like a phone call and say, hey, there's a problem with this location. Rather than the field tech just moving it, because when we get that approval, it doesn't say how far it's moved, why it's moved, or anything.
Are they moving somewhere?
That used to be a thing. Yeah. That used to be a thing, because when Garrett was here, he would always call me and say, I've got a problem here. And so we would meet out there.
Leisha calls.
But I mean, I'm just requesting that if either call us, that would be preferable, I think, to all of us.
I'm
pretty sure if we do that, and And one thing I noticed, when I was going through this,
Alicia does it.
The staff turnaround on these applications, I think the longest I saw was 2 weeks. Most of them were within 4 days, which is compared to other groundwater districts in Texas, most of them are month, 2 months, whatever. But if we start, if the staff has to start sending stuff back to you, and it's many of the ladies in the back of the room in the office, you know, they get constant phone calls and everything else. You may get a day or two delay getting these approved as a result. Just a warning. Okay. I just don't want to hear. Just a warning. What you're asking for, the staff can probably do, or he'll tell me they can't, and he'll slap me if they had side the head later. But it may slow down the approval process on you, which looked pretty good.
I don't want to be here again to hear the
report, like what we that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
We actually have some advice on that too.
So,
I've been backpacking and hiking for a long time. I'm sure you all did too. And I've used GPSs. They're odd. And two, I want to see it. I want to see it with my own eyes. So bring that thing to my shop tomorrow, somebody, or next week.
It's that accurate.
I want to see here that has a GPS show me a template. One computer satellite imagery, I believe it. Because the well's already on location, you can visually see it and click on it. Yeah. But as of a GPS sitting in front of you, laying on the ground, I've sat in the truck for 45 minutes out in Eagle Bluff trying to get close. I'm not joking. I've wasted hours out in Eagle Bluff trying to get close.
That talks exactly about all of our handheld devices. The USGS study right here says that any garment can be up to 10 meters, which is 32.8084 feet, or down to 3 meters, only 3 meter accuracy, which brings us to 9.8425. So that's how accurate out in the field our GPS is.
That depends
if you're around trees.
Other trees. Well, the other
trees.
That might be the issue.
This one depends on what affects GPS accuracy. This one is by GPS.gov, the governmental information about global positioning system. It goes through everything that we go through in Eagle Bluff. Satellite blockage. We're going to do the whole
You're in a blackout zone there, too.
So when we're off 30 foot, here's just another one that the accuracy is pretty
where my wife is right
on GPS. And we know that from the glitch satellite work, which is places were approved inside college. So there's factors that affect this. Yeah.
And really, I don't know very many people that don't like go out and build. I've got a few builders that come in and do that, and then I still have to go out and field verify.
And I have a GPS in my drilling rig. So the week before, I line up my drills for that week. We go out and we make sure we can find in this Easter egg puzzle that we're all tasked with. We become non-trained surveyors. We need to find some type of reference.
Staff's going to send you a map that'll help you at least get in the neighborhood on that.
Like with me, I go to 99. Location, and I know where my builders want it, and that's where we put them. And you know, when I go to drill it, literally me, I don't put it over here in DFP because I literally go to this location and I go, this is where I can get my rig. If I can't, I get it over here. That's where I can do this because I know where you can get a rig. With a plethora of droves of other contractors that are scraping off the land, they're digging ditches, they're placing rebar. I would also like, y'all's spines are puny. I mean, really, y'all got one of
the ones. Be 100 feet off.
Can we get some big signs that say in the ground?
None of that's ever going to stay. But what we need to do is start marking the location of the well on the property, measure it out, write the city on it, turn that in with the application.
like to finish my thought with your signage, though. I mean, that's the problem when we come. It's not there. It's not visible. And here we are back to the GPS coordinates, okay? If y'all have a complaint that you actually went out and stuck it around, and you can see us, I don't care. That under penalties, the removal of this sign, because we're the ones that, after all these other groups of people come, we're the ones left holding the ball.
We don't have the authority to do that on that part.
Let's start doing marking on the lot by measurement. That way we know we're right on. You know what I mean?
Do we have enough staff time to do that?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about us. Yeah. Like us, yeah. When we send the permit in, we mark on that lot. If it's 55 foot to this point, 150 foot from this side of the property, you know, vice versa. That way there's none of it. This is where it is. You know,
each one of those.
Would that help?
I mean, sure. It gives an idea of where they're supposed to be, right?
Yeah. You know, it and one of the points on the GPSs that are eventually typed in and filed in, I remember the first year we were here, Mike's gone, one of them came back in Afghanistan. They forgot a minus sign. I mean, staff only knows what they're seeing. Yeah, the staff can figure that one out pretty quick. But I mean, it's
the thing is, there's no room for error if you literally send it in with the permit. The well is going here, and then you know that well has to go there. I mean, if you mark it here, there's no error for GPS or nothing. It's here, you know, even that way, if you don't still verify and the coordinates you give. And you look at it, go, when you check them GPSs, and it, you know, you show it, it shows up, okay, it's showing 55, and I got 52, and not first from this side, you know, okay, them GPSs are perfect, you know, they're good, they're not showing off at all. That way, you know, this is where it should come up on the property, and I know that's where I put it, and that's where I'm going to drill it. And if you know what I mean, there's none of the GPS are almost not even coming into play, other than you checking it, going, that's where it's showing up, because I got measured to that point on this property.
That's a good idea, but I would suggest measuring it from somewhere like the road, because sometimes the property line is the road, sometimes it's never marked. The property.
The center of the road, you know, is the property line, but we have to go 50 foot from the edge of the road, you know, in. You know, we can't go from the center of the road.
I still don't understand the can't build verify. Because the last 2-3 years, we've been very busy. I will say the Groundwater District has been very busy, and so has all the Royal Drillers. $2,500 a year. Do math. That's six a day. They can't go verify as well as that. That's six below. That's a full physical year. So you're looking at 11 a day, max. And that, you can knock them out in developments, because you know which developments they're going to. You can do it by quadrant, same way we drew it. You can stay in this quadrant, you stay in that.
I mean, I know we're all bad at our jobs. So
that's 11 a day.
I like being told how to
write that down.
But that's 11 a day. Do you even know where Spanish Fork, Texas is?
But you got to break it down in the summer.
Go due north of here, right, the last place you get to before you cross over in Oklahoma.
Okay.
All the way down to Hood County.
Satellite office?
No, you're about field. You said field verified. That means walk out and physically go for the staff to go look at the location.
Well, I can say you couldn't do that because in summertime you might be trying to do 20 days. You know what I mean? But because in the wintertime it's not that busy, so you know you can't average it out like that. You know, but I think the best thing to do is just start doing marking on location, do a map of that lot, you know, where the well's supposed to be by measurement. That way there's no ifs, ands, and buts. You know, that's where it's supposed to be. And then that way when they check the GPSs, if they come up, if I write 52 and 100 foot from this side of the property line and it comes up dang close to that, say within 5, 10, 15 foot, you know, it's approved. They don't have to go out there because they know that's it. And then that way I know that's where it's supposed to be because that's where I measured it all, you know. I think we'll start doing that. And there's no if, ands, or buts. That's where it's supposed to be.
Well, we could do that whether we could always put that on our application.
Take it away from the dummies, which are this guys, like us water well driller guys, and just when you get the plot from the county, why don't you just plot the damn well? I mean, it's pretty simple.
And
just bing, 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 bing. Because we have to do that down there at like Old Sack and stuff like that. Feel like, hey, man, who gets it first? Well, and then y'all get to block the rest of it. Why don't y'all just do that?
Because we don't get an application for every location in the housing development.
It's still going to be there. It's going to be plotted. It's still platted, and then you can say
we've asked the county to have them mark where the well locations are should be on plats for years. That's the extent of our authority there is making a request to the county to have that done.
As part of the county subdivision rules, platting rules.
Well, I mean, how are you going to choose for the house builder to put their house?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to come back and
say,
well, I want that form
there. There's no use talking about any of this. Just marking on a lot where the well goes, the house appears, forms are up, whatever. If they ain't up, you meet with the builder and or the owner. They want the well here. You measure it off. You're good. You send that in with the permit. And then with the GPS of that point right there, they check them. It comes up in that area. We're good. You know, that way we go out, we're 100% right there. Even if there's not blue paint, other cities they didn't go, they have where it should be. I'm 100%.
All right. Because we only have 13 of these to go through. No, I'm
just keep all that in mind. I mean, I think that's the best thing.
I will point out the first one on the list, there's 17 wells, 17 major violations. Our district rules say the penalty for a first major violation is up to $1,000, second $5,000, third $10,000, fourth is litigation, and we've never gone that far.
Yeah.
Doug suggested because this first group is just in excess of 30 feet, they're not wells that have got too close to the property line. These are just small technical ones. He lumped 10 of them together. And his suggestion was $100 penalty for each one of the 10, for the first 10, and $150 for the next 7 for that one particular driller. Is the board comfortable with that, or they think the penalty needs to be more or less? And I'm asking for a discussion instead of a motion. So,
well,
go.
I'll just add this. You can go fire up a hay cutter, and you may be within 4 inches. We're not talking feet. We're talking inches. And 30 days later, you drive to the same spot, and lo and behold, there it is, 4 inches, and back and forth all day. I don't know what kind of equipment you're using or the staff's using, but I know the technology exists to get within inches.
But we're not gave that. We don't have that.
You're not going to spend $100,000 on a piece of garment.
I don't think you'd have to spend
$100,000. At this point, I'm asking for feedback from the board.
I'm just telling you that the technology exists for a minimal cost. It's not $100,000 for what this fine is. Technology exists to get within inches.
Penalty, not fine. Penalty.
Penalty.
Or Brian will slap me around the ears.
I understand. I'm just saying the technology exists to get there.
Are you guys comfortable with what Doug has put down in this case? Knowing
I'm a little concerned about the idea of me over 100 feet. My telephone right now, I know exactly where my granddaughter is. I looked on the phone, and she's in her dormitory over in Texas Tech. That's not 100 feet or 10, it's here. And that's on a stupid phone.
Well,
it's not 100 feet off.
Here's my only reservation about any of this is that these were drilled from 2020 till it's over a 2-year period. I think the offer is very fair, except that we get into how much liabilities, how much unfunded liabilities out there if there's 100 more of these? You know, that's my only reservation with it at all, is that the time frame, I think the offer is very fair. I think it's very workable, and I'm okay with it. That's my opinion.
And on this side. You comfortable with what Doug's proposed, or you think there needs to be more or less?
I don't want to mess with the GM recommendation. I just want to, you know, offer solutions going forward on how this can be reconciled. I think it can be reconciled visually with aerial imagery, because that's obviously how it was caught, right, is with aerial imagery. So if aerial imagery is used, and I'll let people work out procedure, you can figure out your own procedure, it can be, it can, this can be solved using a picture. Okay. And so, you know, I don't want to get into the back and forth and all that stuff, but this can be solved using a picture. Field verifying using computers. Everybody has access to it. Like I said, Google Earth is free software. You can use it. Whatever. I don't, you know, another thing, I don't think, you know, as far as spending, I don't think this is a major cost issue on back, a cost burden on anybody. Like I said, most of this, I think we just did some change in procedures. I think that this could be reconciled. I'm wondering, just as a quick question, what has our history throughout, you know, I've only been here 3 years or so, but what has always been our history of, has this, like, if you had to put a percentage of wells that cause a problem, or if there's a, is this a reoccurring thing that's been throughout the history of the district since 2008?
No. It seems to have started in 2020. Jacob even went through some older subdivisions. After he checked these, some that were drilled in 15, 16, 17, all the wells pretty much drilled in the right location. Maybe all the GPS units got COVID.
Did the procedures change any?
No.
And the concern the board has is we do have some instances where location's been moved. They're too close to the property line, so therefore they've got TDLR kicks in and et cetera. And as Tim says, you can't replug a well. You can't re-cement a well after it's already been built, correct?
Normally not.
So, I mean, it's not an op. I mean, to reverse comply with TDLR is virtually impossible.
We did that before y'all were here. We were in compliance before you were here.
I know.
I mean, that drilling up this TDL scrapping standards is quite easy. This is...
You have been from Montague County, you know. So, anyway, the board is comfortable with the general manager's recommendation.
Yes, sir.
Chair, entertain a motion to accept general manager's recommendation on regards to Mr. Dake.
I so move.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
By Director, by Brent. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. You abstained?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you get that, Ann? Item number two, multiple wells drilled by Clay Pitts. Doug, quickly.
Yeah.
I think we've already plowed the ground, haven't we, pretty well there, buddy?
Go through these quickly.
I have a two-hour drive after this.
These are similar, Mr. Pitts, all wells drilled by Mr. Pitts, all meet spacing, but we're more than 30 feet away from the approved location. 12667 is 35 feet. 13068 is 30 feet, 33 feet. 15572 is 128 feet. This, I can't tell which road this is off this clay, but do you remember where this one was, Jacob?
I had two in Paradise Park.
It may have been, but this is, I mean, it was approved in the front and drilled in the back. This one was
the one in Paradise Parkway, because the house wasn't there when we drilled it at all.
Yeah.
That was the approved.
Yeah. The approved location was up here. And
okay. Well, I do remember that one. It was, which I'm not here to argue either, but
I remember that location, and they were waiting for a long time to even start their house. We drilled the well before the house was done, and that was one of the only ones that we were talking earlier. We require forms to be set before we ever even go get a GPS, just so we kind of
know where it is.
You know, it all changes when there's just grass and they cut it and set forms. I mean, nothing ever looks the same. So we just require forms to be up. But this, unless they're going to live in a mobile or a camper and build their house slowly, and this was one of those situations. But I know for a fact we drilled on an upper Trinity flag, but I'm definitely not saying that the homeowner didn't move it.
Yeah.
So that definitely could have happened.
And that happens. And it happened.
That's my point of before you set the bid, you double check the GPS and it doesn't match. Call us.
I never would guess they would be that far off, but what we do is we pull a tape every single job before we drill to make sure we're going by the rules, because I normally, which I knew that was going in the back, so that doesn't make sense of why the GPS would, because I get all my GPSs, it was going to go in the back from the very get-go.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense that he would have moved it, because that is where I got the GPS, but unless it was changed, I didn't know it. But like I say, not trying to argue, but we pull the tape. All mine should be by the rules because we pull the tape, but which would make me think that I'm in the spot where I got the GPS, because we're pulling a tape from that location, which all of them being by the rules shows that.
Go ahead.
17,244, 33 feet. And so that's 6 for Mr. Pitts. I'm sorry, 4. My brain's gone.
So we all three got different numbers.
We found one, went back and remeasured, and it was like 29. So
which one was that?
I don't remember.
Okay.
First major my recommendation is the first major violation, and a penalty fee of $100 for each of the 4, so $400 total.
What's the board's pleasure?
To make a motion that we take the general manager's recommendation.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second? I'll second it. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Tammy abstaining?
Abstaining.
Number 3, Doug.
This one was... well, 13771, drilled by Mr. Malone. At least Mr. Malone is the one that signed the application. It was drilled 109 feet from the approved location. Coordinates submitted on the application here. It was drilled back here. It's the only one. Recommend, they have some other violations, but still, it's a third major violation, but I'm only recommending a $100 penalty fee.
I think third.
Yeah. The other ones, I forget, what were they, Kyle? They were, yeah, the St. Clair one, and then, yeah.
Then I'm not sure.
It goes back a little ways, but again. Oh, yeah, yeah, that one that got drilled without approval a while back. The what? Yeah. Yeah, so.
That's a new one.
On the wellhead, do you remember though? Where do I find that reference? Because I look all over your old website and everything, and I can't, like, I try to look at the well log.
On the map?
If you go to the map and enlarge the count,
well IDs on the map.
All those dots for each well, if you click on it, any one of those dots,
and that,
the well ID number actually comes
that
up.
By well ID too?
That's not the well ID number for that
one. Huh? Yeah. The well IDs are on the little map on our website.
Because you got a different one than I got up here. You can put on this thing, just like our email. Was 1771. And that's
one. Oh, he left off a 3 when he emailed it to you.
Yeah, it's on the agenda the same way. I'm sitting here checking that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're still recommending $100?
Yes, sir.
Even though it's the third, and in the spirit of the evening, I'd make a motion that we follow the general manager's recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Don't be quiet down there, Jared.
But this is the third violation.
Long night.
in the grand, if I remember correctly, in the grand scheme of things, this is nowhere near the seriousness of the other two. Am I, staff, is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And that would be the reason we stay with this.
Correct.
Yes. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? It is going to be a standing abstention. Is that what you're going to do? Okay. Then I won't ask you anymore until you tell me differently.
Thank you.
All right, Doug.
Well, ID 16918, drilled by Mr. Roger Lewis. It was drilled about 40 feet from the approved location. Recommendation, this would be a second major violation for Mr. Lewis and a $100 penalty fee.
Any questions? It's the board's pleasure.
Motion to accept the general manager's recommendation.
Motion by Director Micah, second by Director Nave. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Doug?
Well, ID 13928, drilled by Mr. Toby Watts. It was drilled 146 feet from the approved location.
Same recommendation of $100.
Same recommendation.
First
major violation, $100 penalty fee.
Questions from the board?
I'll make the same recommendation, general manager's recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All right. Second by Durant. Brent, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Doug?
All right, so now we're hitting the ones that do not meet district spacing requirements. This is two wells drilled by Mr. Maynor with Lone Star Drilling. And I'd start off both of these. As with previously with Mr. Maynor, I fully – he's been really good about calling and following up. I believe this is a situation where flags were very likely moved. April 5th, 2021, application was submitted. April 6th, 2021, well site was visited by staff. Original proposed location was 36 feet from the property line. Staff marked location that was 50 feet from the property line. April 7th location was approved by myself. Here's the marked location, picture of Jacob's GPS at the location, the stake. Email that was sent with approval stating the location did in fact change and didn't move it far, but it is less than 50 feet to a property line now. It's about 44 feet to the property line. There's staff out there recently measuring. It's 44 feet from the property line. As you're familiar with TDLR requirements, anything less than 50 feet to a property line, so you pressure cemented down 100 feet or top of water. This indicated they did not. They poured the annular seal down 15 feet. Again, this is TDLR rules about that. We've gone through this before, gentlemen. If you have any questions, stop me. The second well by Mr. Maynor. It was submitted May 13th. We were waiting on a bunch of other stuff. Got out there on June 14th. Original location was 130 feet from existing well. Staff marked the location 156 feet from existing well. Yeah, those updated coordinates are approved. Here's the marked location. Measurement to the nearby neighboring existing well, 156 feet. Coordinates. Approval email that was sent stating that the location did change. And here's the approved location, and the drilled location is now 126 feet from the nearest well. Again, this is District Rule 4.2. Owner, driller, well, jointly responsible. Require well to be permanently closed or plugged if the well does not meet district spacing rules. Yes, sir.
Let me go back about three slides to the email. We have those coordinates there. Those are the approved GPS coordinates.
Yes, sir.
How different are those than the – this location did change, and this is the new approved. How far off is that from where the well actually was drilled?
30 feet.
Yeah. This is the same numbers.
Yep. It's the approved. Yeah. Here's the coordinates that were approved. Here's where the well was drilled. It's 126 feet from the nearest well. So
there's really three locations on the site where it was originally supposed to be, where it was changed to, and then where they actually drilled.
Correct. And they ended up drilling it back where, nearby where it was originally proposed to be drilled. Recommendation for this one, this would be a second. Yes, sir.
What somebody had mentioned before about taking a picture of the GPS coordinates and the site.
Uh-huh.
I do that.
Okay.
I had it on all of these.
Okay.
So I have it on every well that we drill.
Okay.
And I go out and put the location there, and that's my sign that I put there. So if it was drilled in the wrong location, it was moved.
Yeah.
And what well was drilled first if they're apart?
I looked at it. This well was already in existence when this was drilled.
Okay.
And so you can go back to the picture of staff. They were measuring to the existing well. So that this is, of course, the approved location. This is when we went out before your well was drilled. This is us measuring 156 feet for the approved coordinates. And it was drilled down here.
Tim? And looking at this, those GPS numbers are very close, very easy to transpose one.
Could be.
Yeah. You've got one well that is too close to the property line.
One well is too close to a property line, and one well that's too close to another well.
One too close to the property line, we know what's going to have to happen. TDLR. One that's too close to the other one.
That's us, not TCEQ. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's our rules. Yes. 150 feet to near. Yeah.
The question we get,
if
we've not gotten into any variances on that that I can recall.
So it would require a public hearing. Would require a public hearing of the board to approve an exception if the board were to decide not to require plugging of that well.
Do you recall offhand the horsepower of the pump you put in that one? Or what is pulling
capacity?
I think those out there are
always. Yeah.
What's 10 gallon a minute? Or
yeah.
10 gallon a minute pumps or 12 or the flow capacity is what he was.
Oh, those are 10.
Yeah.
Our 150 was based on 17.36, right?
Correct. It would still.
Do you know where I'm heading?
No, again, yeah, and that's the board's decision. It would still require a public hearing. So
it's still required, but if his capacity is not where it impacts the other well,
correct,
which was designed for 17.36.
And I don't know the flow rate of that well. I mean, I'm sure it's yeah, it's probably making 10 gallons a minute around.
Okay, there,
but I don't know that for a fact.
We'd still have to go through the variance process, but he might be able to show he's not impacting it. Grant the variance based on that.
Correct. That's board decision. If you choose not to require the plugging of either of the wells, it would require public hearing notice and the board approving an exception.
Well, if I may, Doug, on the first one, that's a TCEQ rule.
TDLR.
TDLR.
No, TDLR. TDLR drilling requirements. 50 foot off property line has to be pressure cemented down to 50 feet, 100 feet or top of water.
But that one is not something we have the ability to waive because it's not our rule.
No.
Question, getting back to the picture of the one that's 50 feet off, less than 50 feet off.
Mm-hmm. It's close. 44. Yep. That picture?
Aerial. So he probably
Yeah, the road's not the property line. Yeah, that, ultimately that's probably what happened. Yeah. And this is probably a little, this property line's probably shifted back this way, actually. You can tell by how far it is off here. So it's probably, it's about somewhere between 40 and 44.
So the first, that well, TDLR rule, we can't grant a waiver on that.
Doug, can we go back? Sorry. The red lines are based on Parker County appraisal
district. Yeah. Which is why we go out and generally they're flagged. If not, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Your recommendation is to plug that one.
Correct.
He can request a variance.
My recommendation is plugging both.
Okay.
Again, it goes back to the precedent setting, you know.
If I may, on this. Mm-hmm. We would plug that one, the first one, if it's less than 50 feet from the property.
Right.
Right now we have a TAD map, or Parker County Appraisal District map. Mm-hmm. For a discussion, I would be open to entertaining if you had it surveyed in or shot in and showed where the actual distance is and if it's 50 or greater.
Sure. No, that's fine.
Property corners and the plat, then there would be no reason for my mind that we'd want to require to have it plugged.
Okay.
And I think that would probably be an expensive thing to find out and confirm rather than plugging the well first. On the second one, do you have a picture of the ground before the drill hit, that for the one that's 120?
I can't answer from his end. I have mine. He's supposed to take the picture and take the coordinates when he's out there.
The driller is?
Yes.
The driller.
Okay. I think that might impact my thought on that. If there was some misunderstanding or the GPS picture was taken and he thought he was drilling in the right location, I think that might sway my...
I mean, both of them were marked. I don't doubt that anybody didn't, you know, again, I'm not going to say that anybody's doing anything maliciously. I have no doubt that somebody likely, that Mr. Maynard pulled up and drilled where the sign was and it just got moved. I have no doubt that that's what happened. You know, getting somebody to admit to doing to moving that sign, yeah, good luck with that. Because right?
They didn't want it on the front porch.
But in this instance, since he's got a 10-gallon per minute capacity, he could request a variance exception and come back to us.
He could request an exception if he had a 100-gallon a minute, but I'm just being playing devil's advocate.
But here's where I'm going. If he's got 10-gallon per minute capacity, and the 150 was designed for 17.36, then I think the board could be comfortable in saying, okay, you're not having the impact that the 150 feet was designed for in this particular instance. Am I out of line there? Does it make sense?
I mean, when you're up to that, you're pretty close to the 150, let's say. You know, you're in that range.
I think the other thought is if they have a shot right before they drilled and they, whether the sign was there or not, sign got moved. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
But if they take a picture every time before they put a bit in the ground and the picture shows GPS and they thought they were drilling in the right location, I think that would
sway. Oh, that actually, absolutely. You know,
that would sway my answer on this.
Absolutely.
And with both of these potentially being something that the driller can provide additional data to us, I would move to
table
for a month and let them have that opportunity.
I will provide the data that I have. I'm not going to tell you that I have it from his. I have it from my end.
Yeah.
And I will.
That's why we take measures every time.
But
And the same thing on the survey on the 44 feet, make sure on that. I mean, that's close enough to go, okay, let's double check on that.
Okay.
But
if it was 22 feet, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Or even 32. I mean,
and if it was 22 feet, then I'd have an issue with David drilling the well, the period.
So, yeah.
But I will assure you that he's diligent in what he does, and nothing about this was malicious.
No.
I don't think anybody's doing anything maliciously.
And it's kind of a rough and tumble deal with these builders right now. I just do not work for any of them. There's times that I just say, Capro, you did it. I'm not working for you.
Yeah.
So.
And so, because there's not enough money in it to do what we do.
So on the 44 foot one, I know you don't need me to explain geometry, but you can tape measure it from the two property corners if they're staked.
Yes.
And that
were they staked when you were out there recently?
No.
Yeah, to my guys. Who property corners.
That one? Well, that one was 2021.
Well, this picture right here measuring 44 foot, that was a week and a half ago. So were they still flags on there, or were you? I doubt it too, and they were probably 15 foot off the road is probably what they were doing, which is
that'd be nice for me to say that, but I know where the property line is.
Yeah.
I didn't measure from the center.
Yeah, exactly.
So I put the original stake in, mm-hmm. put every one of them.
Yeah. I think they again. I think like I said, we marked that one too. Like that one was out there and marked by staff. I think where you marked it met spacing, and I think it got moved 5 feet.
I do too, but like you said, I'm not gonna get them to.
No, admit it.
And we still drilled it. So yeah. I'm you know we gotta take the responsibility for it. So I'm not trying to shirk that. I do appreciate the ability to go back and try to address it.
Well, and I've got a motion to table. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
He beat you, Jared. Your hand wave was a little slow. Okay.
I don't want to be on the consent agenda next as little as possible next month. So.
That gives him a month.
Yeah.
That's going to be a long
one. Any further discussion? All in favor, motion to table. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries on that one. Doug?
Next one is well ID 1570-733 drilled by Miss Dion Miles. And this one application came in June 30th. Staff visited the site July 6th. Original proposed location was 42 feet from the property line. Staff marked a feet that was 50 feet away. Application was approved on July 6th. Here's the marked location. You can clearly see as they mentioned, the forms were down before they ever staked it. So here's the marked location. Here's Jacob's, you know, picture at the marked location. Email that went out did change with the new coordinates. Here's the approved location that was marked in the field. Here's where it was drilled. 74 feet away from the approved location. This is the, isn't that correct, Kyle? This is the front over here, and this is the side property line.
Correct.
And Sarah was out there recently. Here's some pictures. Drilled location, you can kind of see it's 30 feet from the property line. And approved location was in front of the house. It was drilled back over here beside the house. Can I finish?
Go ahead and let Doug finish.
Again, it goes back to TDLR requirements. It's less than 50 feet to a property line. Based on the state well report, I mean, this state well report says it was poured, but it doesn't even actually have the data for the annular seal. It just starts with down at 80 feet. So it's obviously, and it says poured, obviously not completed up to standards for a well less than 50 feet to a property line. And my recommendation is up here. It'd be a fourth major violation for Ms. Miles and requirement to plug the well.
Quickly, board got any questions of Doug on this one?
Love to hear.
Go ahead, Ms. Miles.
I went after today, the property line back. I have a, what my builder sent me, as far as like where the well was platted. I went after today to look at it. I did not take pictures, apologize for that. The well, the property line is diagonal. From the point of the well is drilled, the other point is I did have 50 feet inside that. I had another 10 feet I could drill, but my question was, why would it move? My builder would like to know why it would move. And that's the other thing about the phone call. You know, I don't know, as Kyle was saying earlier, that we don't know, you know, what's going to go there. We all have the same issue. If a builder tells us he wants it here, we don't know if there's going to be a shop there or a pool or a driveway or whatever. So that's my reasoning for wanting a phone call and to meet out there on location if there's a problem with location so that I can satisfy my builder. You know, if it can be, you know, what are our options? Where do we drill it? This is just me, but I don't think that the field tech should move the location. Nothing against them, but I don't think they should be moved without talking to the customer or the driller. If there's a problem with it, I'm more than happy to meet somebody out there. I understand that it's going to take longer or whatever, but nobody here is trying to, you know, say, screw the district. Nobody's doing that. On this particular job, I did have to reposition our drilling rig, and that did put me off. And that is my mistake, and if I have to redrill it, I would. But I did have 50 feet there. It could have been approved there. And there's nothing on the other side of it. Still, there's not a house there. There's nothing.
So it is within, it is less than 50 feet from the property. Yes. We all know what we've got to do here. Okay.
This is where my question with our 30-foot lane goes. I understand it was approved elsewhere.
Well, the 30 feet is fine until you get,
yes.
You, it takes you closer to the property line, and then you can't go that way.
I understand.
So.
Yes, sir. I just want to position my rig. That's what I did. And there was nothing on the other side on that lot. So there was no reason for it to be moved. That's why I was saying, you know, if the email says it's moved, can we not say how far? Because they know how far. You know how far it is.
Again, we're going to start sending maps. So, I'm not trying to.
It's a valid concern. We're addressing
it. It is a valid concern, but to, if you get out there and you're, and you see it and there's a flag and our blue spray paint on the ground and you're going to drill it 75 feet away from there, I mean, it doesn't take long.
We don't know from time to time if it's hill verified or not.
There was a flag in the ground and we spray painted it. This is literally taken the day before it was approved. Okay. And when those pictures are time stamped. So that.
I'm in the same situation. You know, my flags are not always there. The paint's not always there. Yeah. You know, I'm searching.
No, I get it. I don't know.
Go back to my point earlier, okay. Before you set the bit, double check the GPS. If it doesn't match, call.
I did not do it this time. I did not. But I started doing that to help me not only where
staff's going to provide information for you to help clarify so you can spot problems too. So
I'm going to ask this. Do the builders and you two talk? And the reason I'm asking that, we've got this thing marked where it is. You showed me the house, and the well's right in front of the house. Chances are the lady that lives there didn't want the well there. Okay.
Do you have anything zoomed out, or is that?
Well, I understand that. The point is, if you have to do anything like that, contact them first.
That may be all we have, but.
If I have a question,
I hope to get back out. I finally got
the rapport with the field tech and everything. I just don't think the district should be moving things without talking to us or talking to the builder or talking to the homeowner, because nobody
thinks slow. One second.
Them what's planned on that lot.
Okay. Back to my comment earlier about this can slow down the process.
I'm okay with that. Well, I want to be compliant as much as you want me to.
Among other things, we've got X number of people. Let me speak. We've got an X number of people that can go out and do this. They also get vacation days and et cetera. And we have four counties of 3,600 square miles to cover. So, you know, you can imagine we got two field techs, and one's going this way and then hitting another one 80 miles away, and the one's going this way and doing the same thing.
Do we know where the original location was requested?
I mean, I can look at the.
I don't know the way.
I mean, if you want us to change our, if you want staff to change that policy, understand what the.
I have to go and convert. You have to convert the coordinates. Say,
yeah.
I
mean,
if I build a shop over here, we're there to satisfy.
Is it in the front or is it outside?
I mean, that's what our job.
I know, I hear what you're saying. I'm just.
And we have wells remarked all the time. I mean, we truly do. I mean, all the, you can ask the staff, they go and remark ours all the time so we can be in compliance. But the, I mean.
You've done a good job of it. I'm going to tell you that. Saw too much of you a few years ago. So.
First time Clay's been here in 8 years.
Is it really?
But,
man, I almost made it here.
Dion, it's been what, three?
Clay, the last.
It's been about three, isn't it?
Clay, the last one you had was the first meeting I ever attended. It was the month before I started.
I was actually telling her.
It was eight years ago next month.
Really?
Yeah. So.
I've got a lot more gray hairs.
I know. I can promise you.
It's learning curve on both sides. I'll say that. You are back.
Okay. I'm back.
Sorry. General manager's recommendation.
Again, the penalty fee is based on the fourth major violation. The board can do with that. And that's just, in line with what we've done for typical fourths and then plugging of the well.
Trace, if I can, what is the, I get to vote. So I was going to ask a question first. What's the range on the fourth violation?
Litigation.
Fourth violation under district rules is litigation.
It is open door. We've never, and I don't want to rack up billable hours to ask Brian what that's about.
$10,000 for a third, and then fourth major violation is optional litigation.
This is actually half of what second.
Second major violation is $5,000.
Yeah, this is actually half of the second.
The last time I was here, y'all gave me two violations. So.
Yep.
This is my third time here. The one before was a long time ago.
Well, it didn't go off. We went through and looked at them. They go off over time. And so technically this is your fourth, and we lumped the last two together. So it really could be your fifth, but we put those last two under one to keep it from being the third and fourth at that time.
We worked. So.
Five, and then it starts compounding. You have a second one, and it doesn't go off until 5 years after the second one. You know what I'm saying? So it's from. Starts to compound after that.
All right.
The original coordinates are worth that.
You were going to say, ma'am?
The last time I was in front of you guys, it was a very similar situation. I corrected that issue, but it was really so expensive. The thing around back. And on that situation, there was a platting issue in that neighborhood. The developer knew about it. It was replatted. So when I was given that information, I was with the job property. It was replatted, and then I wasn't. And so I was trying to, you know, convey that to you guys last time. And the builder was supposed to be here, but his brother was.
And that's not germane to this one, then.
But I'm saying, but, and the first one, I'm saying, to. Speaking to my violations, the first one, the developer put in property lines, and nobody knew that those were the incorrect property lines until a lady had it surveyed later, and all of a sudden, you know, and I didn't have any reason to question property lines that a developer. And so that's what I'm saying. I'm
being argumentative when the penalty could be $10,000.
Well, I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm just trying to say, you know, as far as violations go, I understand the fourth or whatever, go litigation or whatever, but, you know, I'm talking about my livelihood, my license, and everything. That's my concern. Is with it being a fourth violation. And like I said, when I went out there to measure, it was 40 feet off, and I'm wrong. I will correct it. But I don't want this to keep going to where I'm trying to comply, and then I lose my livelihood over it. That's my concern.
I understand. Well, I know.
And this is going back to 2020. This is the only thing you're going to see our faces a lot.
Yeah, because my dad was old school. I'm going to pay yearly for my bottle.
Yeah. I tell you, the next couple of months, spill takes are out there from 2 years ago. I'll see you.
But, I believe, Jack, have you checked with some other older subdivisions, 2015, 17? We weren't seeing issues. It seems to have been. I don't think this was the reason, but it's in the same time period as COVID.
Maybe satellite got
COVID. He said the satellite got COVID. So, what's the board's pleasure on this one?
Keep that in mind.
General manager's recommendation?
The FTM recommendation.
Do you hear a second? You guys take turns.
I so move.
A motion from Brent, a second from Shannon. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Again, and 5-0-1. Correct, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're enjoying this one.
Right, this is the last one, and then we go to the non-exempt ones. So we're maybe halfway done, guys. This is, 14016, drilled by Mr. Lindley. With Moore's water well, application came in on April 5th of 2020. The well site was visited. August 6th, the well site was visited. Original location was about 30-ish feet from the property line. Staff marked a location further back on the property. August 6th, the application was approved by the GM. Again, Jacob's out there, marked location. Here you go. Email, same coordinates did change. Here are the new coordinates. And this is for a commercial building. Here's what you're seeing here. This is the submitted coordinates. These are the approved coordinates. These are the drilled coordinates.
On these, I'd like to be able to see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the future on.
I will. Yeah, I will. This map was made at the end, and I asked Kyle to put this together, and so they will be. So I would like to say we Kyle spoke with Mr. Lindley earlier today. Obviously Mr. Lindley's been before us, right? I'm going to get to the recommendation. I'll get there in a second. It's less than 50 feet to a property line. It's hand mixed poured. Sealed properly for being less than 50 feet to a property line, PDLR rules, district rules, recommendation. So this is a fifth major violation for Mr. Lindley. And I would like to point out again, I go back to, I'm not accusing anybody of doing anything maliciously. I believe Mr. Lindley 100%. The first three major violations were caused by somebody that was working for Morris Waterwell. He let that person go.
The person basically told the crew the well's been approved.
Yes. The person working in his office had told him the wells were approved. They never even submitted applications. He went and drilled wells. He let that lady go. The second two, so the fourth one and then this one being the fifth one, Mr. Lindley drilled. They were both commercial buildings built by the same person. Mr. Lindley called Kyle today and said he has now cut ties with that builder. He is not doing any business because that builder was obviously moving his stake. Mr. Lindley said he understood the situation. Kyle talked to him. He seemed to understand. Again, I have no doubt in my mind that both times, again, it does not surprise me that a builder would not like a location and move the flag. But again, it's the fifth major violation. For his fourth, he did get a $2,500 penalty fee and had to plug the well. My recommendations for the fifth is $5,000 penalty and requirement to plug the well.
And he's aware of that?
I believe, I don't know if he's aware of the, I don't know if he sent that. I don't know what Kyle had talked to him. But he is aware that the well is going to be plugged. So.
Questions from the board? And that's the one where you can see that close there to that rock wall.
Yeah.
And that property line, they're being a bit generous.
They are being a bit generous. It's probably closer to 20 feet to, but from that property line, but that's right over. You're wondering, it's right over off 51 and old Agnes, old Springtown. Yeah, it's Platinum Ridge, right there on that corner. That RV park that they built there, it's right. It's right over there.
Oh.
And the only reason Jacob wasn't looking for that one, he just happened to be driving down the road and. That well's not nearly 50 foot from the property line.
So he wasn't looking, it just fell across it.
Yeah, he was just literally driving down the road.
General manager's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to accept.
Motion by Director Wilson. Do I hear a second?
Jared, your turn.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Now non-exempt wells.
All right. So three non-exempt wells we found recently. Well ID 13784, owned by Camp El Tesoro, the El Tesoro Foundation, 16161 by Guy Hamilton, and 18148 by Trickle Creek. I'm going to go through each one of these individually. Well ID 13784. This is on down in Hood County at Camp El Tesoro. Originally submitted the application as a 17-gallon a minute well to fill a pond on the facility. Obviously, the pond is for a commercial-type facility. It's larger than the requirements for domestic anyway, so it's obviously a commercial well. It was exempt from permitting due to the gallons per minute being under they applied for under 17.36 gallons per minute. This was in 2020. Just last month, Blaine went out there. It's and staff, just so you, I mean, board, just so you know, we've had a list of all these wells that I'd asked Blaine to go check and flow test. We've been a little busy. We've since slowed down to a whopping 180 applications received last month. Yeah, right.
Come on, pick it up, people.
So Blaine, we had some time, and Blaine got out to some of these, and that's why these come up, because Blaine had some time to go out and check on some of these commercial wells that were exempted because of their gallons per minute. Blaine got out there. The well was pumping at 24.1 gallons per minute. So at 24 gallons a minute, it should have it's 30 potential minor violations for failure to conduct a meter reading. Failure to timely meter violation, failure to submit groundwater production reports, failure to submit fees associated with groundwater production reports, and failure to obtain a permit. So typically that failure to obtain a permit, that's a pretty significant penalty, right? That's for the non-exempt wells. It's how we regulate those large commercial wells. So we've, for everybody so far that we've done that's failed to obtain a permit, we have issued a $1,000 penalty fee for that. But for this one, in lieu of litigation, a first minor violation for failure to conduct meter readings, first major violation for failure to both submit groundwater production report and failure to submit groundwater production fees. Third, number three, requirement to submit an estimate of the groundwater produced from the well from July 2020 through July 2022 by December 31st. Or pay the groundwater use fees associated with the estimated production with a 25% late penalty. Five, a second major violation for failure to obtain a permit. Six, a $1,000 penalty fee associated with the second major violation. Seven, requirement to submit an estimate of groundwater produced from July 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022 by January 31st, or bring the well down or whenever they bring the well down below 17.36, if that's what they do. Eight, enter into an agreement for ongoing measurement of water levels in the well. And nine is either or. It's either submit, and I didn't write the or on there, either submit an application for an operating permit no later than December 16th, or perform the work to bring the well under 17.36 gallons per minute, so that it's not, so it's a non, so it's an exempt well.
It doesn't roll over into the next year.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, are we, can you all hear us?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm Vestal, I'm the site director for Campo de Soro. Brian is also on here. He's our VP of facilities. Did you have something to say, Brian?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for kind of hearing us out. You know, we contracted with a construction company to build this pond. They subcontracted with Bennett Well Services, Jeff Bennett, to drill the well. The intention was for this well to be limited to, so that it was under 17 gallons per minute. That was always our premise. Mr. Odom and I, neither one, were in these staff positions at the time this pond was created. We came to the job in July of 21 and September of 21 for me. We have always operated under the premise that this was operating as it was permitted and built. Up until you guys investigated the other day. So because we weren't on the ground when this was done, we're kind of in the unenviable task of backtracking. We contacted the well driller, and he stated on the phone that he felt like he restricted the well when he built it. Obviously, he did not. He said possibly we went in and removed the restriction, which we don't have the capacity or know how to do that. So that's not what happened. You know, my problem with this is the way these violations compound. We had no knowledge of this. As I read through your rules, most of the rules are based on when we were notified of the violation. And so we've been in knowledge of this violation for 7 days now. We're glad to restrict the well. We weren't trying to do anything wrong. We had no knowledge that this was going on this way. So I feel like 10 major violations, they compound over time. I feel like if this well was investigated in a more timely fashion, and I do realize you guys are seeing unprecedented volume, we would have corrected it the first day. Well, we would have started to take steps to correct it on the first day that we knew about it. And we'll get it corrected before the end of the year. But I think saddling us with major violations and fines, you know, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. This pond is for kids to learn how to fish and canoe. We teach conservation to kids. We have 30 school groups that'll be here this year. The majority of those are Title I impoverished schools. So fining us takes money out of us providing services to the community. So I'd like you to consider that. You know, my recommendation is give us the proper time to fix this and consider suspending this fine. We had no knowledge of this until 7-8 days ago.
Let me tell you. And if I can interrupt, one of the other things, I'm actually the one that turns the well on and off when we have issues with pond levels. The pond was, for the most part, from what we understand, naturally filled. So it wasn't filled using the well. We used the well to just maintain water levels. And even during this summer's severe drought, the maximum use that we used the well was basically I would open it up for about 2 days every 3 to 4 weeks to maintain the levels. So we were, if I did my math right, we're looking at less than 864,000 gallons that were pumped in a 6 month period. So we'd be below the feed amount anyway, which could be shown by our kilowatt hours used on the meter.
I would like to clarify that the volume you pump has nothing to do with the fee amount. It's the rate. So the fact that the well is over 17.36 gallons per minute is what makes it the non-exempt well that requires the volume produced has nothing to do with it. It's the rate at which the water is produced.
Right, right. I do understand that. But us being unaware of that it was producing too much, that it was pumping too much, kind of, to me, I feel like it's litigated by the fact that it's below, you know, that we haven't, or we've only run it 2 days a month.
This is Tracy Messer. I'm the board president. Just a couple of point of clarifications for you. While Doug noted that they found 30 minor, potentially 30 minor and 10 major violations, I believe on here you're only finding one minor violation and two major violations, correct? Correct. And the, like Doug said, because the pump capacity exceeded 17.36 gallons per minute, that triggers the fees, et cetera, and triggers a 25% penalty. That's just a straight math issue, and we've had this come up with I don't know how many other situations over the years, probably several each year, don't we?
At least.
That, you know, so that, you know, that's a water production fee. So
can you explain to me why the pumpers are responsible and the other and the non-commercial, I guess, and then it's incumbent upon us to go behind our construction company and our pumper and measure them after the work?
Yes.
Actually, yes.
Okay.
The well application stated that you're going to put a pump that would generate no more than 17.36 gallons a minute.
Right.
Either he
and
put
we
a
thought
large,
that, and we thought that's what was installed. So yeah,
but
we had
it
no
obviously wasn't.
It wasn't.
So that's where right. We are here.
And I'm just saying, it looks like these penalties are because of the buildup over time.
No, they're again, not. The penalties are straight off our fee schedule. And in fact, they're less than the maximum for first and second. You didn't even have a penalty for the first, did you?
No.
You only had the one penalty on the second major violation. He did not have a penalty fee for any of the minor violations.
And
it's actually fair, you know, all things considered, it's fairly light. What primarily needs to be done is to calculate how many gallons were pumped since July of 2020, which is now going to be by the end of this next month, 2.5 years, and get your pump choked back so we don't have to start another year next year come January 1. So that's where we are.
And if we get it restricted before the end of the year,
then it's just the water you pumped up to the day you restrict it.
Right. And then at what point will you guys come back out to verify that so we're not hit with another 2 years if it's going over?
If you call us and tell us, we'll come out the next day.
Okay, so my question is, why wasn't that done in the beginning? Why didn't they come out the next day in the beginning?
Well, first of all, we don't always know exactly when the well's drilled. And second, you know, we try to take people's word, right? But we have a running list, and
we took our driller's word.
And when we got around to it and had additional time to go verify and check some of these things, which is what my staff has been doing recently, then we found it.
Because I did hear earlier in this meeting that you guys want compliance instead of enforcement, and it looks
correct.
Like you're not giving us the ability to become into compliance before you're enforcing. Right now you're enforcing.
Well, the thing is,
when we didn't know we weren't in compliance.
Tracy, if I may, well, the thing is,
without knowledge,
regardless of the penalty fees, the wells, just like every other well, commercial well over 17 gallons a minute, should have been reporting the use to us and paying the fees as you're going, right? So bringing them into compliance.
We were unaware that we had to report that because you guys hadn't told us that yet. And we were under the assumption that the driller had the well put in the way it was designed.
Yeah, and I also checked the rules. I didn't see it. There's no time frame listing as to when you would inspect. Were you guys outside of your own rules or bylaws on inspecting us?
No, there's no time frame on that.
Okay.
We've inspected wells that were drilled in 2009.
Correct.
And staff goes back and field and verifies stuff on occasion. And occasionally we find they have changed well pumps out. More importantly, they've changed meters out without reporting.
Right. Well, and that's not the case here. Like I said, we're willing to bring this into compliance. If this would have been looked at 2 years and 3 months ago, we would have brought it into compliance right then.
And it would have saved us some money.
I have a problem with the fact that we were misled by one company. I guess we can, we can litigate with them for these fines if we need to. But I have a problem with the fact that The driller told us this is what they did. We took their word for it. We're being punished for it. It wasn't, you guys didn't investigate for 2 years and now we're paying back penalties for.
Well, you would have had to have paid those fees to begin with, but.
We could have restricted the well in the first month.
The day that they found it, it still would have been a violation of district rules, and it still would have been the $1,000 penalty as recommended.
But it seems like a lot of this is because it's compounded. We've got missed reports and things like that. We wouldn't have had a report if we'd have brought it back under 17.
Oh my God.
And again, it goes back to that compliance instead of enforcement. We want to comply. We have another well we've always complied with. It's not.
I don't care.
Yeah, we actually do have a good history of compliance. So.
Board has heard the general manager's recommendation. What's the board's pleasure?
I think I may need a moment with Doug away before we do anything.
How long is a moment?
Somewhere around 30 to 60 seconds.
I'll give you what you need, 30 to 60 seconds.
This is just on the drillers after this, right? The driller is not including on this one. He's not included. Because that's what the shooting is sprayed in this now.
Vote on this one?
Well, the driller's not involved in it. He's a driller? No.
No, I think
it's
a
driller.
I figured the others have more philosophical distinctions.
I'm not going to.
$1,000 penalty.
Issue of violation. It's not a spacing issue.
Doug,
yes.
The driller's not involved in this problem.
No, and that's what they're talking about because it wasn't a spacing issue. It still meets spacing at the larger size. It kicked it over to being a non-exempt well.
I wanted to know that.
Yeah.
That he is or is not.
No.
Okay. Got to wait for Brent. You going to be able to?
Yes.
Okay. I've got a board member out of pocket for a second. That's why we're taking a little pause here.
Okay, sir.
He needed more than 60 seconds. Speak for yourself. He's old. Aren't you?
What?
You're old.
That's right.
All right.
I had to get up and take my medicine.
Board has heard the general manager's recommendation. What's the board's pleasure? Finding of the first minor violation, finding of the first major violation, finding of the second major violation with the $1,000 penalty, plus estimating the volume of water produced since July of 2020, and pay all associated fees and the 25% penalty.
Make a motion to accept the GM recommendation with the addition that Doug has the latitude to waive the 75% penalty at his discretion if it is taken care of in a timely manner.
So moved. Second.
He moved. You're going to have to second. Motion by Director Wilson, second by Director Watts. Any further discussion?
Can I just?
No, Mr. Knave is, Director Knave is going to have to abstain on this. Yes, sir.
I do have one question before I vote on this. What was the restriction that was supposedly put in by the water well driller that was removed? Was that ever said?
Don't know that there ever was one. He claimed there was one.
I spoke to Mr. Bennett a few days ago, and he claims he thought he put one on there because he knew that the well had to be under.
So did he say anything about a dole valve?
He said he didn't know. If there was, he said he thought he put one on there, and he doesn't know as anybody could have pulled it out and removed it.
Yeah.
Because basically we had asked, we wanted to try to ask him if he had put one in, and he said he thought he did.
Has this well ever done anything but flow straight out from the well into the pond?
No.
Has it ever been hooked to a pressure tank or anything?
Never.
Okay.
It is just a single pipe that maintains the level of the pond, and it's a rubber lined pond, so the only loss we have is evaporation.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Any further questions from the board? Do I need to restate the motion? Has everybody got it? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 501 with Director Nagel stating and. Number two, Guy Hamilton.
Yes, sir. This is Mr. Hamilton owns some tiny homes. And well 161 originally was submitted. I believe it's probably marked as domestic. We found out it was tiny homes, which is, you know, same like apartments or anything else, commercial use. I believe there's only 14 of them, so it's not a public water system.
12.
Oh, it's 12, so it's not a public water system because it's under the 15. It was approved September of last year. Again, Blaine's been out checking this stuff. It was originally put in with a 1.5 horse pump was what was on the application. They put a 2 horse pump in. The driller has stated that they did not, and this is the one the driller did not install the pump. So there's an issue there. It does fail to meet spacing, which needs to be rectified. I don't think I have that in my motion, but it does. That the hang up there was who put the pump in there. We don't know who put the pump in there and actually committed that violation. So same with similar with this one, minor violations, failure to conduct a meter reading. I forgot this one, got another one on there for timely meter a well, failure to submit groundwater production reports. This one's actually, yeah, well spacing, violation of well spacing requirements.
Is that strictly ours? It's not a TDLR, is that correct?
No, that it is 50 foot off a property line. It's because as the well got bigger, it went to 150 feet. Yes, it is strictly ours. So in this one, my recommendation is that they would have to bring it down. So first major, I think I need to add into this one the penalty for the spacing violation. On that, I didn't know who to put that on because we don't know who installed the pump. Typically, that's something we put on whoever put in the pump to make it violate those spacing requirements. So I'm open to any suggestions there. If we put it on the owner, like I said, we don't, again, I generally take people's words when somebody tells me we didn't put the pump in there. I'm going to, okay, you didn't put the pump in there. Somebody else did. But they've got the second major for $1,000 penalty for failure to retain a permit. Same thing, provide all the fees, provide an estimate of production, pay the fees, 25% late penalty, so on and so forth.
Is the well driller on the application ultimately responsible for what happens in the field?
Likely so, yeah.
From our perspective.
From our perspective, yeah.
Except the well driller says he did not install the pump.
He did sign. I mean, they did sign the application.
They did sign the application.
Generally, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, we asked them who did install the pump, and I don't think we ever got an answer.
No, I spoke with Mr. Irwin. He did tell me that he did not install the pump, and he was going to try to find out who did and give me a call back. That was over a week ago, and I have not heard from him.
So. Yeah, and that's what we were waiting on, because we're going to, you know, recommend, because obviously a pump installer would have to have a license too.
If he does bring the pump production capacity under 17.36, he cures the spacing
correct
error, correct?
Right.
And I believe you've already taken measures to do so. I spoke with Mr. Hamilton.
Yeah.
And, he said that a driller was on their way out there, and I actually got a phone call from a driller saying they were going out.
Yeah.
This is the drillers that are here. I think this is the first time we've had this issue with somebody else installing the pumps. Well, that we've seen. And I've discussed with Doug possibly adding something to the form to note whether or not the driller is installing the pump. And if not, then the owner has to tell us who is installing the pump so we can hold them responsible. Now, there's a problem, because Doug pointed it out. Most of you guys have saved that fillable PDF on your computers and are going to keep using the old form that doesn't have that on there. So you'll have to dump that if they, yeah. But I mean that.
Yeah. We could. Last time we changed forms, it took 6-7 months before all the drillers started actually using the new forms.
So
it's, I think that a year later, some of them were still.
And the ladies behind you get really annoyed with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Somebody else putting a pump in after the fact.
There's stuff for a pump, and I can take it to my customers, so they have somebody else come in and put out the pump. So, like, one time to that.
And technically, so that's a whole other issue, right? Because if you drill a well and it's 15 gallons a minute, it's all in compliance, somebody else puts a pump in that brings that well above 17.36, technically they're supposed to submit a whole new well application to bring that well to, it's treated just like a new well to bring it up above 17.36.
When would that happen? I wonder if that, because like water well guys, we know, and supply and demand, mm-hmm. the big freeze, kind of cracked.
Yeah.
We're driving for everything we possibly could.
Yeah.
I tried to order pallets out of different states, pumps and boosters and everything else. And they started shutting the border down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was grabbing everything possible to get the water.
Yeah.
So I don't.
And if that's what's happened, I mean,
I should go back and review that and go double check what you put in the hole. You may need to put a restrictor on there.
Yeah, but that's customer property. You're not allowed to. It ain't like we own it. Y'all can do that.
Yeah.
Dollar estate. We can't do that. We're independent contractors.
And like, you know, water guy drills for early parts and with the pumps.
Actually,
because it's not always the same
person. If when they change hands, they change ownership, and the new owner is now liable at that point, or could be.
Now, do you believe this was the original pump?
I have no reason to think it wasn't.
It's not a case of the pump went out and somebody replaced it.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and jump up and down and guarantee that, but I mean,
well, he's got homes there.
So. It was approved not even a year, 13 months ago. So it was drilled 13. I doubt they put a new pump in 13 months.
Probably put that 2-horse pump in there to supply 12 homes in lieu of above ground storage.
And, correct.
Which he probably should have done. But the well does make enough water. If he gets below 17.36, he can put the above ground storage, if he needs it, everybody will still have water.
Yeah, and they've already taken action to bring the well below 17.36.
Okay.
So as soon as Kyle called him, he got on the phone and started doing it.
Yes. Okay. That's the general manager's recommendation. What's the board's pleasure?
General manager's recommendation.
Director Watts makes a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation on Guy Hamilton. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Brent, Director Wilson, seconded. We have motion to accept the general manager's recommendations. Any further discussion?
All in favor? The question I have is, this is in a timely manner. Can we reach, just don't have a timely manner lasting a year.
Well, for the staff, the timely manner is December 31st because it throws into the next essay.
And I've in the recommendation.
That's all. Just clarification.
Yeah. In the recommendation, I've got some dates in there.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sounds like they're already on the way to fixing it.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Trickle Creek.
Last one.
Do you promise?
I do.
You're going home, right?
And I do.
And Kyle's sitting back there going, I got 40 for you next month.
No. this one was actually this one was drilled several years ago. Long story short, this one was originally drilled believe for Mr. Odom, built the wedding venue. Several years later, they drilled a second well. And at the time, we just wanted to make sure we went back out there. The point of going out there was to make sure, because we knew it was a commercial facility, that it turned into a wedding venue. When we got the second application, we were aware of that. And so when Blaine went out there to check on this one, he was just going to confirm that the two wells weren't tied in and being both used for the venue. When he was there, he did flow test the existing well, the one that's actually being used for the wedding venue. It made 20.074 gallons per minute. Again, this was drilled years ago. Who knows? Clay, this is one you drilled 2015.
There's no way I put a pump in that pump 25 gallons a minute.
Yeah. So right now it's making 20 gallons a minute. Who knows what happened in 8 years? I'm not going to sit here and say this and that. That's a long time. As it is right now, the well makes 20 gallons a minute.
Not under pressure.
Yes, I believe that did go to that's measured between the wellhead and the pressure tank. Did you get a picture of that one, Blaine? To see the pump size? No. We've got a device that measures the flow rate. Yeah. You don't. And no. You've got to have at least a foot of straight pipe to measure. And that's, Jared, this is why I called you the other day asking about the question, because if it was flowing into pressure, that wouldn't do anything but reduce the flow rate, right? So if you cut it open, it's going to flow more than 20 gallons a minute, likely. Yep. So
pump curves always slope.
Yep.
Hell off.
Yep. So it's pumping 20. We did receive an email from them saying they bucket tested it at 16 gallons a minute today. They're going to be that would have been from a faucet after the pressure tank. I told staff, I told Kyle when he got that email.
Pardon me. This is
let me Jeff. Finish his presentation, please.
Okay.
As I was telling staff a second ago, obviously if they want to cut it open, we'll go flow test it open flow before the pump for the pressure tank. That's basically where it is, where we are right now. Similar to the last ones, failure to conduct meter reading, timely meter OL, groundwater production reports, groundwater fees, failure to obtain a permit. This one actually would have been eligible for a historic use permit, but at the time it was registered as, a 16 gallon a minute well. So, and I think it was marked domestic originally. And we found out when they asked for the second well, that's when we realized it was commercial well because they built a wedding venue. Same recommendation for the other ones, and I'm happy to answer any questions. And I believe the owners are on the line, Tracy, if they have something to say.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Mr. Odom.
Yeah, so Clay actually drilled that one as well. And I just had, when I had the, that was actually the wedding venue, I added on to the residential part of it and turned it into a wedding venue. And when I had the sprinkler system put in, those heads are, we had the nozzle of those heads, the 2.5 gallons per minute, the sprinkler guy did. And we could only put 5 heads per zone, which was only doing 12.5 gallons a minute to make it operate correctly. And I'm not no expert on none of this by no means. I'm a builder developer. I've drilled a lot of wells or had a lot of wells drilled in that area. Like across the street, I also built the other wedding venue and drilled that, had that one drilled. So I know a little bit about it, nothing like you guys, but I did do an open flow test on it. Broke the union loose up there at the well head, and I timed it in a 5-gallon bucket, which I don't know how accurate that is, of course. I'm just, like I said, dumb old Darryl the builder. But, it did about 8 gallons every 30 seconds, which would be 16 gallons a minute. I do know when we tried to put the 6th spray head on the sprinkler system, it would not handle it. So we had to, only put 5 heads at 2.5 gallons a piece.
permitted on those. So I don't know what happened. I'm willing to change the pump if the pump went bad. That is the original pump. Clay did tell me all the stuff that you know, he did put the proper pump in, I feel like for sure, because he went over all that with me and said, hey, this is one of the regulations. You got to have, you know, you can't be pumping over X amount of gallons per minute. And I said, that's fine. I don't have no need to pump over 12 gallons a minute out of that well. I have absolutely no need for more water than that. The only reason I drilled the secondary well up there is because I built a new home up there on that property, and it's like 600 or 700 feet away from the venue. Well, I'm not going to trench that far water line. I'd lose pressure and volume and everything else. So I just drilled a new water well up there to provide my house. But I don't know why that well is producing that much water. I have no idea unless the pump has gone bad or something. But I broke it loose the other day just to see for myself. And like I said, I did it in a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket, and timed it. And I called my sprinkler guy, irrigation guy, and he said, there's just no way I could get it to run more than 5 heads when we put your irrigation system in. That's why we have 30 stations out there, 30 sprinkler, you know, stations. So I don't know. I don't know why it's doing that. My answer is I don't know why it's doing that. But
well, and the other thing I want to address too is there's a suggestion that the property was subdivided and it doesn't meet the minimum tract. That's not true. The Parker County assessors, you know, maps are not. First of all, they're not property lines. They can be close to them, but that 1.9 is strictly for tax purposes for commercial. It was not subdivided.
And I would add, I didn't bring that because I know it's under the same LLC owned by Mr. Odom. That's why I haven't mentioned that in this meeting tonight as an issue, because
that's fine.
Thank you. And again, whatever is, you know, we're a bit in the dark here, but it could be retested. It's been, obviously the bucket flow test is kind of an old school way of doing it, but,
I think it's retested, to be honest with you. If it tests the same as what it did, then I'm, like I said, I'm more than willing to change a pump. I don't need that much water. I mean, I have no need for that, for it to pump that much.
Dull valve on it.
It's in broad. I doubt it does. It's an old rough road going towards dense. So I'll go flow test it, and I mean, we can. The bucket trick may be old school, but it's still very accurate
as long as you do it right. As long as you do it right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I was told. I don't know that I was doing it right. I don't know.
I'll go out there and I'll flow test it. We can start there, and if it for some reason is over, but the sprinkler system can be telltale.
Yeah, let me see what Tracy says. That may be one we go out there and test.
Okay. And I'll go.
We'd like to suggest that this just be put over, and if it shows it's flow at, you know, 15 or 16 gallons a minute.
I don't have a problem if y'all want to table this. It's up to y'all.
Grayson's not here.
Yeah, he wandered off. My board president wandered off. Just one second.
Okay.
Tracy, I said I don't have a problem if you want to table this and
go check it.
Yep.
If it's in Brock, I would be shocked if it actually did. Not saying your meters are wrong or the technology is the deal, but it's where we were talking about with y'all's meeting earlier. It's almost to Dennis Road. I mean,
yeah, there's not much water out
there. Yeah.
Do I hear a motion to table?
I'll make that motion.
No. Director Bicom makes a motion to table. Do I hear a second? Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. And is that it for the item 12 regarding proposed 2023 budget and allocation of district funds, including but not limited to the adoption of resolution 22006 adopting a budget for 2023 and resolution 22007 allocation of funds for the district.
Yep.
We've gone over this the last couple of months.
We've gone over this for months.
Any changes since last month?
Nothing's changed other than what we discussed last month.
All
What do you want, buddy? Did you write your letter to Santa? So I was just telling my daughter last night, we need to sit down, it's time to write a letter to Santa.
Okay.
Well,
mine's pretty poor.
And I'm 42.
Board member, have any questions on the budget? Jared?
We can always modify it next month, right?
Dion,
what do we need to modify, Don?
I have the same.
I don't know, but the point is, it's 9 o'clock. He's not.
I'm a year older.
Okay.
I do.
Hey, you got your motion to adopt the budget and the two resolutions?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Director Watts, second by Director Nave to adopt the 2023 budget and allocation of funds, and including adopting resolutions 2206 and 2207. We have any further discussion? And yes, if you have questions next month, Don, we can take a look at it then. How's that? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Discussion regarding dates for board of directors meetings and district holiday schedule for 2023. We do follow Parker County's holiday schedule, which wipes out a fourth of our meetings in the year.
Yep.
And the suggestion has been made to shift our meetings to the third Thursday. Part of it's selfish on Doug's part. He wants to coach his daughter in T-ball, and they play on Mondays. I will concede we originally settled on Monday. Actually, the board settled on Monday before I came on the board because the chairman was serving as the general manager, and that was his day off at work. And that's how we wind up with the third Mondays.
And from a staff standpoint, Tracy, you and I have talked about this. Mondays are always tough, right? You're playing catch up when you come in from the weekend, you're playing catch up and you got to get ready for board meeting. Any day would be better than Monday, and Thursdays I know is good for you, Tracy, because you get your paper out on Wednesday.
Tracy and Wednesday are work days for me. Thursday and Friday I've got flex.
Thursday is ideal because that gives me and staff a day after the meeting to any follow ups. And like I said, my recommendation would be Thursday, third Thursday of every month at 5.
But do any of you guys have any major conflicts on Thursdays? Jared, you coaching anything this fall?
Coach everything. That's the reason I'm sympathetic to Doug.
Okay.
Do they have any children going to be in junior high or for ball games and so forth?
Well, Berkeley's last one is about to graduate, so he's going to get cleared off. Brent, does Thursday work for you?
Thursday works for me.
Chair, to entertain a motion. Somebody make a motion.
Motion for option two.
We can always
brain burp here. What time on Thursday?
Five.
Five.
Still five.
Okay.
Can you go back one?
Jared's self-employed. He wants a daytime meeting.
No.
I like daytime meetings too.
You know,
Saturday night.
Just kidding.
Saturday morning at what, 8 a.m.
Brent, you nothing before noon.
Yeah. Do I have a second?
Okay. Don, do I have a second?
Yeah.
I didn't make the motion.
Director Mike gave a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Instead of the, it's now the third Thursday.
And the Parker County holiday schedule as well.
And your motion and your second included the Parker County holiday schedule, did it not?
Sure did.
Okay. Did you get that, Ann?
My practices are Tuesday right now, so we're good.
Okay. You know, my luck is going to be for all these games change and have to play on Thursdays.
We need to put a motion that there's a time limit.
You weren't around here for the meeting because it went to 1 in the morning. Item 14, general manager's management report. Anything particularly, Doug?
No. Next month, we'll have to schedule a hearing to adopt the FCs. Finally got all the stuff from the Water Development Board. It's right. Technicality. It's all done. It's just that final box we have to check.
And we actually slowed, the staff slowed down and we're getting lazy. They only had 79 new well applications this month.
So far?
179.
179 last month.
We're still averaging over 200 a month for the year. Review line item expenditures and dot budget amendments.
Yeah. We need to move money for fuel because, you know, fuel prices kind of went crazy this year. So 2000 from auto maintenance to auto fuel. We had to get the garage door down there. Is the, one of the garage doors, yeah, need to be replaced since commercial doors aren't cheap, or the motor. So move 4,000 from monitor well program to equipment repair and maintenance, and then 250 from website services to outside contract services.
Chair, entertain a motion to approve the budget amendments.
So move.
I'll second.
Motion by Director Nave, second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any opposed? All opposed? If Brian's online, can we hold him for next month?
Brian, you have anything quick?
Yeah, I've actually got a pretty detailed report here.
No, you don't.
I can update anything I needed to say tonight next month.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Our next meeting is Monday, December 19th.
Oh, can that was another question. Are we good with, could we possibly move that up to the Thursday prior to that? That's my daughter's birthday is the 20th. I was planning on taking off. We're having her birthday that weekend.
What date would that be?
That'd be the 15th.
What party are you going to throw that needs?
I don't know. Urban Air. Hudson Oaks. You want to go jump around in the
first December 15th.
Come on.
Earlier in December, the better for me.
Yeah. We are early, the better.
Yeah, earlier, the
better.
December.
No 15th. Problems. Work for December, you, Tim.
15th. December 15th at 5, Thursday, December 15th.
That works, Shannon?
Oh, sure.
I announced that our next meeting is Thursday, December 15th. How's that? And thank we're you. Done before 9 o'clock, barely. It's 8:56.
Closer to it, darn.
Get up and walk out. Okay. My